Dawn, will you read for us, please?
I'm reading from John 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Our second reading is from Romans, and the theme of the sermon this morning is about no fear, that we don't need to fear because God is with us. So I've chosen this passage from Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, starting there. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or a sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, some of us are going to be pleased to see the end of 2025. Some of us are looking forward to 2026, but some of us still fear of what the future holds. Do you know, in the Bible, it's got 366 occasions where it says, do not be afraid, and its variations. 366, that's one for every day of the year, plus an extra for leap year. So, especially in the Christmas story, we have, do not be afraid. Every time the angels appear, they say to the people that they see, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't have fear. Bad things happen in life, don't they? But we do not need to fear them. Fear is a thief and a liar. There's a thing called panophobia. Does anybody know what that is? No, not fear of washing up. It's the fear of everything. Panophobia is the fear of everything. And it's a real disease where people fear absolutely everything. And fear is a great tool of the devil. But the Bible says even when the worst happens, we do not need to fear. God can transform evil to good. Genesis 5 verse 20, the story of Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat. He says to his brothers at the end of the adventure, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So don't be afraid. That's the beauty of predestination, as we read in Romans chapter 8. God is not taken by surprise or thwarted by events of the world. Paul tells us five reasons not to fear, and we need not fear the past, the present, or the future. First thing he says is that God is for us. I am the Lord your God, who takes you by your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. We used to have rains on the twins, and they didn't last long because they would cross over and spread out, and it was all sorts of different postures you'd get into. The safest way to hold on to a toddler was to hold their hand. And God does that for us. He holds our hand. But we often think that things are against us. Why me? What did I do wrong? Is a claim, is a proclamation that we all make at one time or another. Why me when the shoelace breaks and you're late by 5 minutes? Why me when stuff burns on the hob? Why me when things go wrong, when things are not as good as they should be? What did I do wrong? Or for others, why them? What did they do wrong? We think that we're being thwarted on every turn. But in fact, God can redeem every situation, every use of every event to bring us closer to Him. We need to wake up each day with the knowledge God is for us. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. This has been our verse of the year, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Or in the book of Job. Remember the story of Job with the things that happened to him where all bad things happened. And yet in chapter 19 verse 25 he's able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. What great faith in the midst of such trouble. Remember, he lost all his family, his wealth, his standing in the community, reduced to being in the street scratching his skin with bits of pottery. If Job could go through all that and still say, I believe in my Redeemer and God is for us, who can stand against us? Then we remember that although God is for us and who can be against us, we remember also that Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now we are God's children. How much more will he give us? Christmas is a time when children get lots of presents, hopefully. And yet, God has given us as his children so much more than just presents. He's given us eternal life. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Not just a few, not just one or two, but every. If God gave Christ his Son for us, why worry if we have anything God can give you? Why worry if we have Christ himself? And then we have the verses that say that God has justified us. It says to be justified, this is Jerry Bridges, to be justified means more than to be declared not guilty. It actually means to be declared righteous before God. It means God has imputed or charged the guilt of our sin to his Son Jesus Christ and has imputed or credited Christ's righteousness to us, not guilty. Accepted by him. God does not accuse us anymore because of what would be, that would be a denial of his own plan of salvation. If we understand this, we can have peace. The devil may accuse you, God does not. Men may accuse you, God does not. You may even accuse yourself of being sinful and rubbish and of no good, but God does not. Then we have those verses which are somewhat hard to understand. It says that Christ intercedes for us. Therefore, this is Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There's a certain president over on the other side of the pond who said this year that he didn't know if he was going to get into heaven. Well, these verses tell us that if we trust in Christ, we have nothing to fear because we can go straight into God's presence and be accepted by him and have eternal life in him. We do not need to represent ourselves before God and say, God, I've been a good person, I've tried hard and I've looked after others. Sometimes, you know, we can't bring full sincerity to our prayers. We ask for forgiveness because we know we must, but we still feel justified. Lord, I know I said that to that person and I shouldn't have done, but they deserved it. We ask for forgiveness because we know we must. We cannot come before God in prayer free of sin stain. Christ can. Hebrews 7 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Christ also prays for our security. In Luke 22, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is praying for us. Why fear? And then Christ loves us. Christ loves us. What if we fail? What if temptation or trial comes to us and we fail again and again? Maybe we look back on 2025 and say to ourselves, well, it wasn't a great year, I failed too often. It says in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from Jesus. God doesn't shelter us from the difficulties of life. Indeed, he uses them to refine our faith. Romans 5 verse 3 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Verse 28 of Romans 8 assures us that these difficulties are working not against us, but for us, so that we not only survive or just endure, we win and overcome. Romans 8 verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Christ's love makes us free. So in conclusion, I simply leave you with this thought. The whole chapter of chapter 8 in Romans is declaration of the believer's freedom, hope and victory. Freedom from ourselves. Hope because we are certain one day we will be with Christ because death is defeated. Victory because through our belief in Christ we overcome everything and anything life brings to us. Let me leave you with the last verses of Romans 8:38. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not any powers, neither height nor depth or anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then Romans 12 verse 12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Happy New Year. Let's pray together. Father, there's nothing this world can throw at us that will stop Christ loving us. There's nothing we can do to make him love us less. There's nothing we can say or act that will make Christ's death for us irrelevant. And we thank you for this. We thank you that as we enter a new year, we can trust in you. Lord, hear us in this, we pray. Amen.